Improving upon Euclid. The elements of geometry, as they first appeared in the 13 books of Euclid well over 2,000 years ago, although not having been translated into the English language until the year 1570, nonetheless still retain most of their original aspects. Based upon such unprecedented accomplishment, Euclid finally should be fully acclaimed for having founded a fixed set of geometric precepts that clearly have withstood the tests of time, thereby establishing governing rules, axioms, and important principles that modern-day mathematicians neither should tamper with, nor challenge. With this having been said, our focus for improving upon geometry instead shall be directed towards proposing how to make it more appealing to the masses, without, of course, meddling with, or in any other way refuting any of Euclid's basic tenets. In order to achieve such goal, two new areas of development shall be explored, described as follows. 1. Recognizable images and associated terminology that represent breakdowns of more complex geometric abstractions shall be presented to young children in a new light for purposes of further acquainting them with their deeper meanings, and 2. Geometry shall be extended beyond Euclidean precepts in order to account for a real-world realm where time and motion prevail. With regard to item 1, above, one way to make geometry more appealing would be to relate abstract concepts to specific images and supporting words that students would be expected to already have become familiar with due to previous anticipated encounters with such information. The logic behind such hypothesis is that people appear to learn by means of relating the unknown to information that they already have processed, thereby gaining a familiarity with it. Such notion of breaking down complexities into simpler tidbits dates back to 1. A 1990 landmark article by the American Psychological Association entitled, The Mirror Effect in Recognition Memory, Data and Theory, New York University, Journal of Experimental Psychology, Learning, Memory, and Cognition, and more recently 2. A 2015 article by Carnegie Mellon University entitled, New Information is Easier to Learn When Composed of Familiar Elements. Moreover, since most people can observe appearances, one might conclude that even young children should be aware of various forms and shapes, at least to a degree where they probably would be receptive to being taught geometry. Indications to this effect date all the way back to the Civil War era, whereby 1. Thomas Hill, former president of Harvard College, remarked in the preface of his 1855 book entitled, First Lessons in Geometry, two children, one of five, the other of 7½, were before my mind's eye all the time of my writing, and it will be found that children of this age are quicker at comprehending first lessons in geometry than those of 15. 2. Bernard Marx, commented in the preface of this 1869 book entitled, Marx's First Lessons in Geometry, that unthinking persons frequently assert that young children are incapable of reasoning, and that the truths of geometry are too abstract in their nature to be apprehended by them. And 3. E. Hunt in the preface of his 1895 book entitled, Geometry for Grammar Schools, wrote that in the kindergarten and the lowest primary grade the child is introduced to geometry in art. Notice that the first part of the title of this curriculum parallels those of the first two books cited above. Whereas Euclid, at the time when he developed his 13 books, had to be overtly concerned about establishing well-founded theorems, most probably he never paid very much attention to the possibility that such principles might appear to be too complex or abstract for young children to comprehend. By means of devoting his full attention instead to what eventually would become a whole new branch of mathematics, as predicated upon applying only a straight edge and compass to known or given locations, his consequential masterpiece, although intended to reach those who might be astute enough to sufficiently follow his logic, unfortunately wasn't simplified to a degree where it might reach the minds of most young children, thereby never gaining access to such niche marketplace. And so, over two millennia later, today's responsibility to succinctly restate Euclid's very own logic in terms of a recognizable terminology that young children would be able to fathom finally falls upon us, thereby serving to transform abstract concepts that originally were intended only for grown-ups, and that furthermore had to become translated from Arabic into Greek and Latin, and thereafter into the English language just in order to reach us.